with the message this afternoon. The choir will sing a song for us. I will follow you to the end of time. The topic of our exhortation this afternoon is the cost of following Jesus. So let this little song bless our hearts as we prepare for the message. After praying and studying in the night, towards the morning, in my sleep, I had a dream that has not left me the same since then. That dream, I looked up to the clouds, to the skies, and I saw the Lord Jesus and many people. And I was shouting, Jesus. I was not shouting to call him, but it was an exclamation. It was a dream, but to me it was not a dream. I experienced another reality of God. Many of us are not yet sure whether Jesus is there. Many of us don't yet know the reality of Jesus. So we don't know the cost it takes to follow him. Jesus is real, brethren. Since I gave my life to Christ in 2010, I've been experiencing him. For a common dream, someone will say. And I could not even, since then, I don't even know how to explain it. But one thing he did, he served as an anchor for me. Soon and very soon, one Sunday morning, some people will come to church and will not know that the rapture has taken place. Jesus is real, brethren. Let the song that the choir has sang for us, let it be a message to us this afternoon. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Choir, thank you. We'll follow him to the end of time. God bless you. I have a very short time to spend with us. The title of this exhortation is The Cost of Following Jesus. The Cost of Following Jesus. I've said it before that there are two categories of people following our Lord Jesus. The first category are what the Bible calls the multitude. And the second category are referred to as the disciples. For a text, let's turn quickly to Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 32. Luke 14, verse 28 to 32. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, why the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." The cost of following Jesus. From the little scripture we just read, the Lord Jesus himself speaking, he said, "You will not desire to build a skyscraper. You will not desire to build a house. The first thing you will do is to check your account balance." I saw someone's update where he said, "Can 50,000 naira get me an apartment on Ikoyi?" And somebody said, "It can get you one in Ikoyi prison." You cannot decide that you want to build a house. The first thing that comes to your mind is, how much do I have? Do I have enough to finish it? Or this project, will it be something that will take me 7 years? You cannot say you want to go to war and you don't count the cost. What will it cost me to win this war? So it is. There's a cost to follow Jesus. But like I said, there are two manner of people following him. For the multitude following him, the cost is cheap. While for the disciples, the cost to follow Jesus is costly, is expensive. Every one of us that calls the name of Jesus, we are either of these two categories. We are either part of the multitudes or part of the disciples. The multitudes are people that come to him primarily for any other thing other than salvation. While the disciples are those that come to Jesus primarily for the salvation of their souls. Praise the living God. The multitude are those that come for anything other than salvation. Their primary motive in following Christ is not the salvation of their soul, is not the kingdom of God. But for the disciples, their primary motive to follow Christ is their salvation. They want to go to heaven. For the multitude, the cost is cheap. It includes what? Going to church regularly, paying your tithes, paying your offering, being a worker in the church, belonging to this group, belonging to that group. Those are the cost for the multitude. To be a disciple of Jesus, the cost to pay to follow him is more than going to church.
The cost you pay to follow Jesus if you want to go to heaven is more than being a worker in the church. The cost to pay if you want to follow Jesus and make his kingdom is more than bringing tithes and offering to the altar. There is the cost to pay. And many of us don't know this cost. So some of us refer to ourselves. We take ourselves to be disciples, not knowing that before God, you are only part of the multitudes. In Matthew 5, from chapter 4, the Bible said that the multitudes followed him when they saw his miracles, his power. The multitudes came to bright assembly when they saw sisters and brothers prophesying, doing mighty things, when they saw miracles and healing taking place. He did not chase away the multitude. The Bible said in chapter 5 that he went into a mountain apart and called his disciples unto himself. Brethren, there is a difference between a disciple and multitude. The kingdom belongs to multitude, to the disciples. Why multitudes can benefit any other thing from Christ? Going to church is not the price to pay. People of other religion also regularly attend their place of worship. Muslims go to mosques every Friday. That you give tithe and offering is not the price to pay to be a disciple. People of other religions support their religion financially also. That you are a worker, you came to church, you are a cleaner in the church, a coordinator, a chorister, is not the price to pay to follow Jesus as a disciple. It's more costly than that. Praise the living God. It is not enough. Some of us, our anchor is, I belong to Bride Assembly and I'm a worker there. That alone doesn't make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't be carried away by anything. The cost of discipleship is more than that. That every Monday you come here and go for evangelism does not mean you are yet a disciple of Jesus. That you belong to 3 prayer groups does not mean you are a disciple of Jesus. Praise the living God. And if the Lord Jesus Christ should rate us in this ministry, it might interest you that before him, the disciples amongst us are very few. Many of us that come to Bride Assembly are still under the multitudes that follow him. If you don't know what it costs you to be a disciple, how will you desire to pay the cost? Praise the living God. Our duty is to preach. We will never force anybody on living the gospel. The multitudes may receive material blessings, physical blessings, healing, deliverance. So that God blesses you. That you came to the altar when Sister Marachi said you should come and give an offering. And then when you went back, you received an alert of 10 million naira. Doesn't mean you have received the kingdom of God. That God fights battles for you does not mean you are yet a disciple. That you pray and he answers you doesn't mean you are yet a disciple. That you are a financial pillar in the Bride Assembly Church does not make you a disciple. That you are a regular worker, even an ESCO in the Men or Women Fellowship, doesn't make you a disciple. And also, that you are a coordinator does not make you a disciple. Ratoni, that you are a chorister doesn't make you a disciple. Ministers, that we are ministers doesn't make us disciples. God is no respecter of anybody. He will never bend his principles for anyone. All this will only make you part of the multitudes that receive blessing. How do you read your Bible? In Mark chapter 5, the madman of Gadara. The Bible said Jesus healed him. That story baffles me to today. Jesus delivered him. And this same madman begged Jesus when they said Jesus should go. Please, let me follow you and be with you. Jesus said, no. go and tell everybody how the Lord had delivered you. The only thing he knew about Jesus was that Jesus delivered me. When Jesus was telling his disciples, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, he knew nothing. When Jesus was telling the disciples, I am the bread of life, he knew nothing. When Jesus was telling them that he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, he knew nothing. All he knew about Jesus was that mighty man that delivered me. Brethren, that man was part of the multitude. He was not a disciple. Yet he received mercy from the Lord. Praise the living God. To follow Jesus will cost you something. If you are going to follow him as a disciple, the first thing it will cost you is revelation. Let's turn our Bibles quickly to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13. The first thing it will cost you to follow Jesus successfully is revelation. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Ah, Master, some say you are John the Baptist, or some say you are Elijah. Master, some say you are even Jeremiah. Others say you are one of the prophets. Jesus said, everybody is confused about the personality of him, of Christ. Okay, who are people saying I am? A mighty healer, mighty deliverer. Okay, you that is following me, verse 15. You that you say you are following me, who do you say I am? Jesus is asking us that question today. You that you say you are following me, who do you say I am? And what happened? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said what? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. Who revealed it to you? But my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. I will give unto thee also the key of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then verse 20. Then he told them, since you know who I am, don't tell anyone that I am the Christ. Keep it to yourself. Jesus will build his church on revelation. Revelation is the currency for transaction in the kingdom of heaven. You can't follow Jesus successfully without having revelation. All those who will ever benefit for the purpose of the manifestation of Christ must be people who have revelation. You can't follow him successfully without... somebody might be saying, what is revelation? Revelation is simply defined as knowledge that comes from God himself. Revelation is not in reading your Bible. There are professors of theology that have read the Bible 20 times and cannot interpret Matthew 28 verse 19. Revelation is knowledge that comes from God himself. Knowledge of God, knowledge of his ways, knowledge of his will that God by himself gives you. It is not because you are intelligent or learned that you receive revelation. It is because you are an elect. Praise God. Praise the living God. Without revelation, Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without revelation, it is what? Impossible to please God. If you will ever know the reason for which Christ came, you must have revelation from God. How do you look at John chapter 6, verse 44 and verse 45? John 6, 44, 45. What does he say? See Jesus speaking. He says, no man can come to me as a disciple except what? The Father which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, verse 45 is my emphasis. See the role of revelation. He says what? It is written in the prophets. What will happen? They shall all be what? Somebody say, God teaches. God teaches. He doesn't teach you because you can speak English. He teaches you because your heart is humble before him and you want to know his way. Let's read that scripture. They shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father doeth what? Cometh unto me. So without revelation, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus. If God does not teach you, he says, any man that has learned, you cannot come to Jesus to be a disciple. You can only come to him by your own will to be a part of the multitude. Jesus is a good man. Who will not be attracted to him? Anywhere he went, he was doing good. Everybody will be attracted to Jesus. But for those that will come to him for discipleship, it will cost you revelation. Praise God. Let's quickly look at John chapter 6, verse 24 to 27. Now, see where revelation comes to play. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, this was after he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum. Looking for who? Seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side, they said unto him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, what? Verily, verily, I say unto you, you lack revelation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, God has not taught you. He says, you are seeking me, not because you understood the miracles, but because you ate bread and were filled. You are seeking me because you received miracle alerts. You are seeking me because your condition changed. Please still hang that scripture. You are seeking me because I delivered you and healed you. Not because you understand the purpose for that miracle. Verse 27. Then now he is speaking to those that know him. The miracles were seek, the multitudes were seeking him for the bread they ate. But the disciples were seeking him for the bread of life. He says what? Labor not for that food that perisheth, but for that food, that meat, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Can you see it? To come to Jesus for the bread of life is only because God has revealed to you that Jesus is the bread of life. The message is not to condemn anyone. It's only to let us place ourselves where we belong. This Jesus that you danced for today, this Jesus that you said amen to the pronouncement of his servant, you that are seated here today and you watching me, what do you know about him? Who is he to you? What does he mean to you? Have you understood him to be the bread of life? Have you seen beyond this physical and natural world to understand the purpose for Christ? People say they are spiritual today. And what they used to rate their spirituality is that every night, they pray warfare prayer. Then the person will come and show, lift up, show that I'm a very spiritual person. That doesn't make you spiritual. Conquinches also do vigil every night. The only difference is you are approaching God. Today they are approaching another demon. What does Jesus mean to you? This will define how we walk with God. Who is Jesus to you? To many of us, it's just an issue of religion. This is another Sunday. Let me come and they have good music in that church. Let me come and shake body. If many of us were not born into Christian families, we will not be Christians today. Not because you yet have a revelation of who Jesus is. Praise the living God. It will cost you revelation. Have you wondered why Apostle Paul's prayer for the church in several places, like Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, was that God will give unto us the spirit of wisdom and understanding in knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Brethren, the Jesus you don't know, you cannot suffer for him. When Paul and Silas were cast into the prison because they were preaching Jesus, if it were today, they would have dropped their Bible. Their prayer point will change. There's a book, Tortured for Christ, a biography of a man that suffered under the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union is a communist government, we all know. And they are atheists. They don't believe in God. So once you profess any form of religion, they will deal with you. This man was in prison for years. They will torture him, deal with him, only for him to neglect religion and say he's no more doing. One day after they finished torturing him, they did the movie of the story also. After all the torture, they took him back to the cell and he closed his eyes and he was praying. The wicked person over him came and said, "Why are you still praying? You have lost your child, you have lost your wife, you have lost everything. Why won't you let go of this religion?" He said, "I was not praying for myself, I was praying for you." Brethren, if the government should change in Nigeria and become as diabolic as China, many of us will drop the Bible. We don't even need to go far. Do you know that because of condition, some people are denying Christ? Because of condition. Because of condition, many people are denying Christ. Because you are standing on the truth. You are not lying in that marketplace. And because you are saying the truth, and you feel that business is not moving, then you are bending to join them. You lack revelation. It will cost us revelation to follow Jesus. Oh, my time is almost up. Revelation was what anchored Abraham. The Bible said he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Many of us don't yet have revelation of heaven. That is why we are not striving to enter there. To be a disciple, brethren, it will cost you revelation. That is the anchor that anchors you. That is what keeps you. That is the anchor that holds you. When storm arises, when wind blow, what will keep you going is the revelation you have of who Jesus is. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for revelation. Praise the living God. You can't go far in the kingdom of God if you lack revelation. Another thing it will cost you to follow Jesus is Matthew 16, where we are reading from verse 21 to 26. Where we are reading. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for you savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. If any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Verse 25. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." Praise God. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You will notice that this story we just read follows the story of Peter. After the Lord Jesus said, upon revelation I will build my church. The next cost to follow Jesus is the sacrifice of self. Self-sacrifice. The greatest problem we have is what? Is self. If you will follow Jesus as a disciple, you must sacrifice self. Self must be out of the way if you are ever going to please God. Your self-thoughts must be put aside. Your self-will must be put aside. You must come to an estate like Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21 that says what? For to me to live is what? To die is what? Gain. For to me to live is Christ. In other words, if I am living, I am living for Christ alone. If I am living, I am living to do his will. If I am living, I am living to follow his purpose. If I'm living, I'm living to pursue his vision. He's saying to die is gain. It is better for me to die. Because to live, I'm not living for myself. To live, I am living for Christ. Those that have sacrificed self, they are the type that live with a principle. What is that principle? What will Jesus do? Many of us don't follow that principle in this generation. Many of us don't follow that principle in this generation. What will Jesus do? Praise God. I'm not preaching because I'm perfect. One day I was driving and one Mara wanted to, you know, the way they do. And I was so vexed. I spoke out and, in fact, in front of my car, there's Koboko. I used to pretend to be a military man. His wisdom in Lagos. So that when they want to ride you, you see a talkback and Koboko, they will think you are this thing. So I spoke back to him the way he spoke. I'd left when he just dropped on me as a thought. Did you really display Christ now? See, enough is enough of bread and butter Christianity in this generation. Many of us are not yet dead to self. Myself inclusive. Many of us are not yet dead to self. Christians of old, where are those days that when you insult a Christian, he will tell you, God bless you, or walk away? In this generation, I will show you, I will deal with you. It doesn't cost a Christian to pull his suit today and to contend with you physically. After they dealt with the apostles, they flogged them because they preached Christ. The Bible says they were rejoicing, counting it worthy to suffer for him. We want to go to the same heaven. Let's not deceive ourselves. Self must go if we will please God and go to heaven. Self must be crucified. We must get to the same position of Apostle Paul that said, I am crucified with Christ. Enough is enough. Let's stop pretending and deceiving ourselves. Many of us are not disciples of Jesus. It's a fact. Why this is burning in my heart? Don't think because you are receiving prophecy, receiving miracle, Jesus is healing you and blessing you. Don't think you are okay. We are supposed to be weeping. We are supposed to be weeping that God should perfect us and make us rapturable. For many of us, it will be a surprise. Self must go if you are ever going to go to heaven. It is self that seeks about himself alone and not others. Self is still dead. That is why when you are insulted, you retaliate. Do you know that some of us even find it ashamed to praise God? Because your high class. So we that dance like mad people in bride assembly, it's because we don't have money in our pocket. Self must go. Self must go. We must crucify self. Your pursuit in life, your ambitions, when self has gone, you will now know that the talents you have, the resources you have, the wealth you have is for Christ. Even you yourself, you are for Christ. Apostle Paul will say, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You people don't understand the meaning of that. Paul, a bond servant for Jesus Christ. He's telling you, as far as I am concerned, I am a slave to Jesus. Another time he said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Check our daily lives. How many of us are truly living for Christ? We live for self. Even our reason for coming to church is always about self. The reason you are asking God to bless you is because of self. So that I'll be in the latest car and everybody will know I've arrived. Self, self, self. 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 He says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Self makes us compromise. Self must go. Your life must not be about you alone. It should be about, it is not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Brethren, we need to wake up. Stop this bread and butter thing. Let's start asking God to break us and remold us. Because it will come as a surprise. You call Lord Jesus Christ, then fire falls, and you think you are saved. I pity you. Another thing it will cost us to follow Jesus is what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17 now. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Brethren, to follow Jesus will cause us separation. To follow Jesus will cause us separation. We see a conditional statement in that scripture. He says, come out of them and be separate, then I will receive you. That means if you do not come out from them and be separate, God will not receive you, will not be a father to you. By creation, God is a father to everybody because he created everybody. But by redemption, God is not the father of everybody. He is the father of very few. We must be separate. God has been in the business of separating his people from those that are not his people. Two manner of people live in this world: the people of God and those who are not. Praise God. Separation is necessary because the people of God are different. We are the temple of God. We are the priests of God. We have eternal life living in us. We are heavenly citizens. We are different from others. God refers to us as righteousness and refers to non-Christians as who? Unrighteousness. Praise the living God. Now, separation is not for us to depart from the community and say, I will leave Osho the way I'm living and we'll leave Lagos State because we don't want to be polluted by the world. Separate, separate. Then we'll go and stay in one place. No. We are in this world, but not of this world. When the Bible speaks of separation, it speaks of lifestyle. It speaks of character. It speaks of conduct. It speaks of attitude. A Christian's lifestyle is supposed to be different from a non-Christian's lifestyle. We must be separate. When the world is going left, a Christian is supposed to go right. It is a taboo for you, a Christian, to be the same as a non-Christian. If they are lying in their business place because you are a Christian, say the truth, even if you don't make profit. A Christian must be separate. Praise God. In character, it is wrong for me to live and behave like a non-Christian. If my product is from China, I should not say because I want to make profit. I should say it is from Japan and USA. I am not being a Christian. How can unbelievers use naked women to advertise their products and a Christian will do the same? A Christian is going to advertise their markets, their products rather. And it is the same worldly songs that should not be heard that we are singing. I'm not speaking to people outside this church. I'm speaking to us seated here. We see things. After you sing such love on Sunday, on Monday, I see you on the streets. Yeah, me see you, lo, 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 a Christian. And they will post it on social media. Everybody is seeing it. The way we do our business must be different from the way unbelievers do theirs. If my product is for malaria, I should not say it's for typhoid and IBP. I'm lying. Praise God. Another painful thing is when Christians celebrate. Two Christians are wedding, and you attend a Christian wedding ceremony, and upon the table is full of alcohol. We are not yet separate. Something is grossly wrong. Something is grossly wrong. It is not for us to say you are not going to have dealings with the people of this world. The Bible says you are the light of the world. You are among them, but they should say something about you is different. There are sisters that, because they work in top corporations, even if it is skirt you are wearing to your working place, there is no difference between the one you put on and the one the worldly one puts on. Christian. I'm on my way to Glory Land. You think Glory Land is a Jesha? We must be separate. I'm rushing. I don't have time to break down some things. In dressing, we must be separate. In conduct, we must be separate. In lifestyle, we must be separate. What is invoked in the world should not be what we practice and celebrate. I was so ashamed of myself. Preachers don't have secrets, so forgive me. Bear with my weakness and be praying for me, anything I say. And I saw a church that is supposed to be in this end time message some time ago in a ceremony. And I was seeing their sisters, choristers, workers of the church. All of them a reflection of worldliness. A ceremony that his church members are doing. And they will be the ones to go. A Christian attending, you are seeing them dressed in a way that all their cleavages are showing. Putting on Jezebelic hair attires. And tight clothes. And bridal train, you could see all her chest. You could see all her breasts. Christian, brethren, enough is enough. If you be for Christ, stand for him. Let's stop doing Jesus like this. We must be separated from our traditions and culture. When you become a Christian, you are not more an Igbo man. This is a hard saying that many of us don't like to hear. When you become a Christian, you are not more a Yoruba woman. Remove Igbo mentality and Yoruba mentality. you are now a citizen of another land. Brother, so do you know in this church, some sisters are turning down proposals simply because the brother is not an Igbo man. Your pride is where you come from as a Christian. Your pride. Then you relate with me. I will hear things like, these people are not Yorubas. I don't be Igbo man, be this one. In the church. Well, it does not stumble me. Because I have revelation. I have placed those people. They belong to the multitudes, not disciples. When you have come under the blood of Jesus, it has washed away every segregation. You don't deal with me by my tribe, not by my race. Many of us are not disciples. Let's wake up. I'm not speaking grammar today. Do you see us breaking any mystery? Let's go back to the basic milk of our salvation. Let's wake up. We must be separate. In that marketplace where you are, even if you be persecuted, everybody must know, say, this one, no, any illegal deal, no go there. That is when they'll give you names like Pastor, Oli Oli. Count it a privilege. Count it a privilege when they call you names for Christ. But no separation today. We want to belong here and belong there. We can never be so. It will cost you separation to be a true disciple. We must be, our life, everything about us, our conduct must be different. In the world, when they are cutting, they go to one another's house and sleep over. In Christ, we will not behave like the world. Praise the living God. We must be different from others. Some time ago, Pastor Zoe preached a sermon, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He said, a city that is set on an hill cannot be what? Separation is a necessary requirement to go to heaven. Separation is a necessary requirement for heavenly candidacy. If you will be a candidate of heaven, it will cost you revelation. It will cost you self-sacrifice. Where you will know that it is not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Oh, that fornication might be sweet to you, fornicator. But if you will follow Jesus, you must sacrifice it. Fast means of making money might be very easy. In fact, if you stop it now, you might go back to square one and be poor. If you will follow Jesus, you must sacrifice it. If you stop sleeping with that man, he might call off the relationship. Or he might even sack you from that working place. If you will follow Jesus, you must sacrifice it. If we will follow Jesus, we must be separated from worldly lifestyle, from our culture and traditions, and come into the light that God has given us to walk in. If we will follow Jesus, we must have revelation. Time will fail me to continue. But the question is, where do you stand? Are you really following Jesus as a disciple? Or will Jesus look at you today and call you part of the multitude? Forget your church membership. That is not what Jesus is looking at. Forget the big title and honor they gave you in the church. Matron, patron. That is not what Jesus is looking at. HOD. That is not what Jesus is looking at. Worker. That is not what Jesus is looking at. The financial pillar of the church. That is not what Jesus is looking at. What do you know about him? Have you laid self at the cross? I will follow. Have you laid self at the cross? Follow you till the end of time. Have you separated yourself from the world and from every other thing contrary to the way of God. I will follow.
Follow you till the end of time.
Don't be deceived that we are all one. We all come to church. Don't be deceived by that. Don't compare your spiritual life with another person in Pride Assembly. We have different origins and different destinations. Many of us only met in the church. Please help me sing that song. Don't look at another person and start comparing yourself. It's about you. If you have not attained to this level, if Jesus should come for you, you will be surprised that you sang in the church and you ended up in hell. If we will follow Jesus, it will cost us these things. I'm not going to make any altar call. But if there's anybody that needs to come and kneel down here and ask God for strength, in 2 or 3 minutes, the altar is still open for you. Don't think because we clapped together and we danced together. Shebi, it is what pastor is doing, I'm doing. It is how Olumide is behaving, I'm behaving. Then I'm saved now. Do you know if I'm saved? How do you know I'm not just a servant? Let's wake up. If you will follow him, upon what revelation are you anchored? Upon what revelation are you anchored? I don't know that person that needs a touch from the Lord. The altar is open. The altar is open for that person that wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to start afresh. Lord Jesus, I want to begin again. I've actually been playing and politicizing my journey. I've actually not known that it is as serious as this. I thought it ended in clapping and dancing. I thought it ended in my offerings and tithes. I didn't know that you require much more than that. I did not know that you needed much more than that. That means if you come for me today, where will I stand? Let's wake up. Enough is enough. Let's not play about our salvation anymore. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we close our eyes as we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you. Father, it is as delivered to me that I have delivered it. Since that experience, I've myself been considering how I follow you. And I know many changes I've made. Lord, you said we should come to the throne of mercy and grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of our need. Father, for as many of us as have received your word this afternoon, the grace to follow you as a disciple, Father, let it be released unto us in the name of Jesus. We don't want testimony of men. We want your own testimony. This is my beloved son. I am pleased with him. This is my beloved daughter. I am pleased with her. Father, that spirit of yours that will help us to the end and help us stop joking with our lives, release it upon us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Church, the Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. Can we put hands together for the Lord Jesus?